Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You are digging through the archives, my friend, now.
Yeah, Little Richard passed away at 87 today.
Oh, wow. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan, and we will go right to the phones. I don't know if he's a Little Richard fan or not, but I know he's a fan of fishing. From Fishful Thinker, Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Well, good morning, Terry. How could you not at least be a fan of Little Richard? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's when he started playing that, it's well, 87, a good long life. I guess if somebody gave me 87, I'd probably mail it in right now. But
yes, sir, I think so. I think that's a fair trade. But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, while we are still here of the earth, I think we need to get out and do some pond fishing, Terry, because these days, man, it is absolute prime time. And we've had the reservoirs have been kind of up and down and around, and they're good in one day and bad the next day and good at night and, you know, whatever, but they're all over the board. But the ponds have been consistent. And you know, if guys can hear this radio show, people can hear this radio show anywhere they can hear it up and down the Front Range. There are gravel quarries. One good thing, we've got gravel quarry ponds all up and down, and the vast majority of them have pretty solid bass and pan fishing in them. And this is the time of year that it's about as good as it's ever going to get. So that's why I kind of wanted to chat about that a little bit today.
Well, and it's a great topic, too, because we're seeing some pressure at some locations. In fact, we saw Union Reservoir closed to some activities. I don't believe to fishing overall, but the swim beach and the fishing pier closed. We've seen Bear Creek and Soda Lake closed activities. And we just want to let people know that there's lots of opportunities to spread out and go do some fishing close to home. You and I know of a pond that's just a few blocks from my house that has produced some giant fish, and up and down the Front Range there's ponds. In fact, I was out just about a week and a half ago, and I posted on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, a whole bunch of panfish that I caught in ponds. But what are you seeing, and how do you approach it, Chad?
Well, and you're right, they are up and down the whole area. No two ponds are the same. So you do, you know, you got to think it through a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to this. I'm looking for the hardest bottoms I can find. And so that somebody says, well, how do I know if I'm dealing with hard bottom situations? If you can find a good sandy bottom anywhere near an inflow, anywhere near some riprap, anywhere near some kind of you know, a bank that appeared that's not growing cattails and bulrushes and stuff on it, let's put it that way, you're going to be in the hunt. Now, that's not to say the fish won't be in the cattails or around the cattails. They for sure will. But the ones that are going to be easiest to catch are going to be on the harder, clean bottom areas right now. And that's the first thing that I'm going to be looking for. The other thing I'm going to look for is all the new vegetation. I'm not talking about the old rotten stuff from last year. I'm talking about the fresh, new, you know, it could be a loadia grass, could be cattails, could be, you know, buggy whiffs, whatever. But the freshest, greenest vegetation of the year that's coming up, and the ponds are just starting to really green up, and the fish will gravitate right away to that stuff. I mean, bass are real quick about how, you know, how fast they'll move into new habitat. And as soon as that those, particularly the Elodia patches start coming up, the bass will pile into those and be all around those because they'll hold bug life and everything else. So the edges of those can be fantastic places to fish because those edges tend to be where there's some sort of a bottom content change, and that can be really good. Any kind of a rock bank can be really good as well. Some of these will have riprap on one bank or the other, you know, broken concrete, something like that. Any kind of rock bank can be really good. And then the other thing I'm going to look for is any kind of hardwood cover. So like a lot of the ponds in eastern Fort Collins had trees standing in them, you know, around any of that hardwood, any lay down, any dock edge or corner, a culvert pipe, anything like that, I'm going to be looking for as well. And the thing you can count on at this point is the fish are not going to be out in the deepest part of the pond. Most of the big bass and the big sunfish are going to be at least looking to come to the bank or be around the banks. And so they're going to be within casting range. So really, I'm going to focus really hard on fishing angles to the bank, looking for a hard bottom, and fishing any edge or change I can find.
Now, what are some of the presentations you really go to in this time of year?
Well, for me, it's not a cover water thing. I want to fish very thoroughly because right now I'm looking for the biggest fish I can find. This is the time of year to go looking for your 5-pound largemouth or your big giant bluegills. And so for me, I'm going to fish thoroughly and fish very slowly. So I'm probably going to take something like a Maxent General, which is a Senko style bait. I'm going to fish it unweighted and I'm going to fish it very slow. I'm going to let it go to the bottom and just barely drag that thing back. The beauty of that is you'll never snag it. And it's an easy way to get, you know, largemouth bass to bite. And 10 inches will bite it and 10 pounders will bite it. So it's a good bait in that regard. It's 5 inches long and it's very thorough. That would be probably something I would go to right away. Maybe a small Texas rig, you know, with a light, maybe a 16th or 8th ounce bullet sinker on it and a small worm of some sort, a 4, 5, 6 inch straight tail power worm or a little curl tail power worm will for sure get you bites. The one thing I caution people is if you start downsizing too much, you'll get tons of bites, but you'll also catch a lot of the average fish or the smaller than average fish in the lake because everybody's eating. So this is also the time of year that I'll tend to throw my bigger plastics in the ponds because I am looking for the biggest fish. And believe me, they're named for the size of their mouth, not the size of their brain. So, you know, a 6-inch or 7-inch rubber worm this time of year is a fantastic way to get bites. If it's windy like it has been the last couple days, then I'll probably wind a spinnerbait around, a very classic spinnerbait. You know, maybe a 1/4 ounce to a 1/2 ounce spinnerbait and just let it go down and then just wind it back, you know, in the wind, but not doing anything crazy with it. But that's also a snagless bait, relatively inexpensive bait. So that's a really good choice. And a little beetle spin arm or a larger than average beetle spin arm with some sort of a grub on it is a great all around bait because then you can get all kinds of stuff to bite. I would probably put a 3 or 4 inch Berkley power grub on that. And probably a 1/4 ounce weight and just, you know, a 1/4 ounce jig head and just wind that thing back or do a little bit of a flutter to it. But I'm going to keep it real simple. Everything I'm going to carry is going to fit in one little tiny box, and I'm going to focus more on where I throw it and how I move it than I am on changing baits 15 different times. Again, these fish are on the bank. They're ready to eat. It's more a matter of getting something in front of them without spooking them and just being real thorough, you know. And Dave, first thing I'm going to grab is for sure going to be something real slow, real thorough, and real weedless. And I'm just going to concentrate on making good presentations with it.
You know, you mentioned the Maxent General, and I like to fish those kind of baits quite a bit myself. I find myself in the shad-based lakes reaching for a light, a white one or a shad-colored one. But when I'm fishing the ponds or even a lot of lakes that I know that have a lot of panfish in them, I'll go to something that has maybe more bluegill colors in it. What do you do?
I'm for you. I'm all for that. You know, some kind of a cinnamon purple color, and that Maxent's available in a bunch of natural colors. And some kind of a cinnamon purple color is a good one. A black and blue is a good one. They've got some with a little bit of an orange tint to it that's good. And, of course, if all else fails, grab a green pumpkin one and throw it around because you're going to be in the ballpark. Or even just a black one can be really good as well. But, yeah, I'm going to go to the darker colors probably on average in the ponds. And you're right, I will for sure go to some of them that are more of a whiter silvery color in shad type situations. Like, for instance, if I was going to be at Boyd Lake, I'd probably throw a silvery one, a shad or white colored one because of all the shad in there. But, yeah, I would for sure go with a darker, more natural color or more bluegilly, panfishy type color in the ponds. And then speaking of the bluegills and panfish, you know, we got a lot of fly fishermen in Colorado, and we're supposedly not able to go up into the mountains and do our thing up there. Well, this is a fantastic time to take your little wet flies out in a fly rod, a 3 or 4 weight, and throw flies around for catching panfish. And if you're a little bit more adventurous, then get your 6, 7, maybe even an 8 weight out and some huge flies and throw those on the banks for bass. I don't think it's quite popper season yet. I mean, you can get some bites on the surface, but for me, it's going to be something like a deceiver or a big clouser minnow, something like that, a big giant leech pattern, and drag that around. Really good opportunity for the fly guys that don't want to travel the mountains.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We don't have time to get in depth, but I will mention before I let you go that the panfish, if you don't have the patience for the bass, because sometimes even this time of the year, big bass can take a little more patience. The panfish are biting, and a little jig with a gulp minnow or a gulp leech or a gulp waxy on it, or a
under a bobber or just cast with light line will get you panfish in almost all these ponds right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A little, you know, the easiest way, let's say you got Junior with you. The easiest way, in my opinion, is to take a little small bobber, not too big, hang about, you know, 18 inches to maybe 3 feet underneath it with a real light little jig head and a little gulp, you know, a little pinched crawler, just a little piece of some kind of piece of gulp. I mean, it could be any one of the 1-inch minnows all the way up, little red worms, anything like that, little leeches, like you said. Just let that thing drift along in the breeze. Let it go right down any of the edges you can find, or blow right down a bank, or even throw it out in the deep water and let the breeze blow it back in on the bank that you're standing on. But any of those will for sure get flushed a lot, and you don't ever know what you're going to get. Last time I did that, I got a pretty nice channel cat that came up and ate the bait. So you just never know what you're going to get. You don't have to get your hands all dirty with worms and all that. Any kind of a little piece of gulp will for sure get bites. And if you want to make sure you get lots of bites, that little gulp maggot hanging underneath there, do a string of two of them in a row and let that hang underneath there, and you'll catch bluegill so your arms fall off.
You bet. Hey, we got to go. Fishfulthinker.com if people want more information.
Yes, sir. Or any social media app, Fishful Thinker, YouTube included.
All right. We will talk to you very soon. We need to get out and fish, my friend.
It's time. It's time. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And the lake's coming around. We'll talk about that one next time.
All right. Thanks, Chad. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
Chad LaChance, Fishful Thinker. We're going to wrap things up. A couple of quick notes I want to make. We did have some closures. Union Reservoir closed some of its activities. I don't have the full list. And so did Bear Creek and Soda Lake. And the reason they did was that people were overcrowding and not following social distancing. Now, I said earlier, I don't want to preach on this, but, you know, we don't want to close more facilities. And I've been told by multiple entities that they want to keep things open. They want people out there. They want to encourage people to use the outdoors, but they don't have the personnel because of funding is down right now to manage it if it gets overcrowded. So let's use a little common sense. If something's really busy, go somewhere else. If it's if you can't do something appropriately, then do a different activity. That's all we'll say. But speaking of appropriately, one of the most inappropriate guys I know is probably sitting in the studio right now, and that's Dan Jacobs. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, and you can take shots at me. I just love listening to the show because we have Chad LaChance, who is the Fishful Thinker, and then we got Terry Wickstrom, who's the Wishful Fisher. So it's awesome, man.
You know, you used that one already. You need new material.
All right, I'm sorry. I got distracted this week. I was looking at all those pictures that you didn't post of you with other people's fish.
Oh. Hey, the Broncos schedule came out. What do you think? There's going to be a tough start to the season.
Well, the whole thing's tough. I am the only one in the Denver media saying that the Broncos are a lock to make the playoffs. The schedule made me a little bit queasy, but here's what we know. It looks tough now. There will be two or three teams that do nothing. They don't perform at all like we expect them to. So I think the Broncos are going to be fine. They're going to be two or three games better than they were last year, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, my biggest fear is because the beginning of the schedule is, I think, tougher than the end, depending on how you feel about the division games. And I think if they can just hang in there, because you got a lot of new guys are going to start. You're going to be putting in systems without mini camps. I think I'm optimistic the Broncos are going to be a much better team at the end of next year than the beginning of this year, end of the year. And so if they can just hold their own through some of those games, I think they have a great shot.
Yeah, they'll be in the playoffs. The unfortunate part is they're going to have as many playoff wins as you caught fish this week. So that's not so encouraging.
You can't win 100 playoff games.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I'm not talking about the fish. I'm not talking about the fish Karen caught. I'm talking about yours.
Hey, you have a good show regardless of your lousy attitude, okay?
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Yeah, remember, you owe me your career. You know that.
Yes, you made my bowling career what it is today, out of business.
Yeah, I also made you the man you are today, and I don't know if I want to take credit for that.
Right.
All right. All right, Dan, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Right, we'll let the Eagles take us to the top of the hour, and Dan Jacobs in sports on 104.3 The Fan. Up ahead in the distance.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.